If we could put the slide up, I'm going to make this very short. I'm going to give you an overview of just who we are as LifeTree, as Ascending Church, and what we've come up with. And this is both our mission and vision statement. We're not having two statements. We're having one. And it is neighbor, it is nations, neighbors, and the next generation discipled and transformed. It comes out of the Great Commission. And this is even though I say nations, neighbors, and next generation, I believe the order, like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost ends of the earth, they were to preach the gospel like that. I believe we're focusing on the next generation first, neighbors second, nations third. But we're called to all three, and Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. If I would take one word out of all of it, that I want us to identify with and embrace, it's the word discipleship. If we look at the context of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, past tense, has been given to me. Therefore go, which really means as you go, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day, night after night, to the end of the age. As you do this, I'm going to be with you. The context is, the verses preceding that, Jesus had told the disciples, meet me on this mountain in Galilee. This is after his resurrection. They go there in order to meet him. He appears. Some of them worship, but some of them doubted. But in the midst of the worship, he begins to interrupt their worship, interrupt their doubts, and said, all authority has been given to me. Past tense. In heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples. I really do believe that the greatest expression of our loving God, of loving one another, comes by making disciples. Our greatest external expression of worship is by making disciples. He's saying, if you really want to worship me, this is how you do it. You make disciples of all nations. They're the final words of Jesus. They're the summary of all that he said and he did, and this is after his resurrection. He's saying, in conclusion, it's sort of like he said, loving God, loving one another fulfills all the law and the prophets. So what the law and the prophets were to teach us is how to love God and love one another. And what he's saying is, I want you to teach practically now what my word teaches you of how to love me and how to love one another. Because if it's just love without the definition, without the explanation, is it love like Hollywood? Is it love like the hippie movement? What does love look like? And the Word of God is giving us a definition of what loving God and loving one another is supposed to look like. And our role is to make disciples of all nations. Now, every disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. When you look at the criteria that Jesus lays down for discipleship, you go, dang. That is wild of how many things he is calling for. If you want to follow me, you've got to pick up your cross, deny yourself. It's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, which means just of hating them. In contrast, is you're loving me first more than any other relationship. That's the priority. You cannot have a greater love for your wife, for your husband, for your children, than you have for me if you want to be a disciple. So the criteria he's laying out is extremely high because you're going to be influenced by those things and you can't represent me unless you're doing that. But I will say that no matter how many believers we get in the world around us, it does not change because only the disciples are authorized by Jesus to be able to make disciples by baptizing them, which is bringing them into a covenant relationship with Jesus, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. You see, if we have a gospel of salvation, it reveals Jesus as Savior, and it enables people to get into heaven. But the gospel of the kingdom, which is Jesus as Lord, gets heaven into people. We need to be getting people into heaven, but if we're going to change this world of being salt and light, we need to get heaven into people. We get heaven into people not by knowing God's word, but by actually doing God's word, that Jesus is the Word made flesh, which means that the Word of God, everything that it says, is manifest and revealed of its true meaning in the life of Jesus. Everything he said, everything he did, is revealing the reality of the essence and the spirit of the Word of God. And the objective is that we become a living word and living epistles, not by knowing it, but by doing it, by becoming practitioners. You see, when Jesus said to the 11, "All authority has been given to me," that authority is a privilege, it's a right, it's a power, and an authority. It has been given to me, and I'm saying, tag, now you're it. You're the only ones that are legally authorized by me and by heaven to be able to make disciples of all nations by teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you so that they become practitioners of this. Everybody else is doing it illegally. The government is doing it illegally. Hollywood is doing it illegally. Media is doing it illegally. Education systems are doing it illegally. They are discipling us of what to believe and what to value. But it's happening because as Christians, we've abdicated and vacated our role and responsibility of discipling the nations. This isn't a new command. It's not a new commission. It's a repeat of what God said to Moses. He discipled the nation of Israel in his ways, in his will, through his word, of all he commanded them. And in Deuteronomy 6:24, it says, "Everything I've commanded you has been always and only for your good." Not the letter of it, but the spirit of it is always and only for your good. And you need to be able to understand it and teach the world around you, because what Moses did by revelation of the Spirit of God, he says, this is how government works. This is how business works. This is how agriculture works. Diet, hygiene. They knew nothing of germs. And he didn't go into an explanation, but he told them what to do so they wouldn't get the germs or the sicknesses or the diseases if they did this. So he's teaching them in every area how to relate to God, how to relate in marriage, how to relate in parenting children. He's teaching them about art. He's teaching them about every single area of life that they need individually, as they need in marriage or in parenting or in society or a nation, to be able to truly experience abundant life. He's giving them everything they need. He did it through Moses, and Moses doing that with Israel, they were commanded in what they learned to teach the other nations. They were to be like the first older brother, the firstborn, and then teach the nations, which they didn't really do. But even today, even with this great commission, this is what we're called to do. And it's as we are called to do this, and the heart and the desire is that we are equipping the body to do the work of the ministry, which is making disciples, either as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm just going to touch on it, but Paul, in Ephesians 4:1, he says, "I urge you, brothers, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk worthy of the vocational calling that you have received." He's putting it in past tense. We've all received a vocational calling. And then in verse 7, it says, "To each and every single one of us, grace has been given," which actually means a gift. But it's a gift of either apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And it's given in order for us to equip the body to do the work of the ministry, which is making disciples. You see, as we become believers and then we become disciples, and as we make disciples, that's how his kingdom comes on earth just as it is in heaven. And the objective is to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, to pray for it. But there's a practical application of not only knowing the Word of God, but living the Word of God, that we are transformed and we become agents of transformation, bringing the answers to the governments of this world of how God has given wisdom and revelation of how we govern ourselves. Giving the businesses of this world the wisdom and the insight of his word of how to do business God's way. Of how to do marriage God's way. How to do parenting God's way. And the reason the emphasis on the next generation, God continued to say to the community, not just to the parents, teach your children my word, my ways, my wonders, my will. Because if you do, the succeeding generations are going to experience my presence, experience my kingdom, experience abundant life. If you don't do this, they're going to forget me. They're going to wander away. And they're not going to experience what I had planned and destined for them. And as a result, when you look at the history of Israel, when they forgot to teach the next generation, there was a great decline. You can forecast the future of any nation by Malachi 4, 5, and 6. The final words of the Father to Israel, which are, behold, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will send Elijah to you to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, which happens when the hearts of the fathers are turned towards the children, lest I smite the land with a curse. It's like every field of activity, of ministry, of life is cursed if we are not turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I can say the value or the future of a nation is determined by the value they place on their children. And I can forecast the future of a nation by the value they're placing on the children. And if we really value our children, we're going to teach them God's word. We're going to teach them his ways. Because what we're doing by doing that is we're teaching them how to love God and how to love one another. And we're teaching them that there's wisdom and revelation of how to experience abundant life in every sphere of life. And we're going to equip them to make disciples and be effective within every sphere of influence. Because all these spheres of influence are the mind molders that are shaping the values and the belief of our society and of our culture. And they're doing it because as the church, we've abdicated and vacated our role and responsibility as the only legal authorized people to make disciples of nations, according to what's been revealed in his word and in Jesus. Nobody else legally does that. Only disciples, not believers, only disciples. Disciples, because they have got heaven in them through teaching God's word, they can bring heaven to earth into people and into spheres of influence to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So that's my short summary. You're going to hear us continue to unpack this message, make it practical. But when I say this, I will say it starts with the small, the 3, the 12, the 70, the multitudes. There's a measure of discipleship going on in this context. There's the measure of discipleship going on in cultivating a hearing heart or front line. But I tell you, when you consistently get with a group of people and into the Word of God and in prayer, and you're holding each other accountable, encouraging one another to live that Word, and we're having life groups, I believe that's the greatest way that we're going to see transformation take place in us and discipleship. It's the proverbial 3 and the proverbial 12 are more important than anything else. It starts there in the smallest of context, and then it's built the small, the medium, the large. And if we start valuing that, I think we're going to be changed. For me, in 1974, it was Rick and Ralph Gray who poured into my life. And then Jim and Bonnie Ingster in 1981. And from then on. And then 1989, David Hickson, I feel like he saved Lorraine and I's our lives at that time, because we were just a mess from just the coming out of a church that we couldn't believe what was happening. And there was life in the vineyard and David and Yvette's leadership. I remember those days David said, we're shutting everything down. We're just going to play. And all we did was play, because everything was way too serious for too long. And we played, and we played well all summer long. And then we got to work. But it was like we had the grace to be able to do it. Esther Bennett and Sharon Pryor have poured into me. And I want to say, you need to both be discipling people if you want to grow. Because you're going to grow the most when you're discipling others, when you're teaching them what you've been taught. But you still put yourself out of context, always as a learner, of having people disciple you. And you need both. And if we really want to grow, if we're really wanting to see the kingdom advance through us, it's got to be established in us. And God only has one plan, and it's discipleship. That's it. That's the plan. To see his kingdom come, to see us transformed, is by making disciples and being a disciple. Amen? Well, bless you. You'll hear more, but thank you. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. And I ask that you would just continue to come and begin to show us that you have a call on each one of our lives to make disciples in different ways, with different people, within different spheres, and that we would experience your grace as we begin to walk in the very thing that you have destined and called us for. In Jesus' name, amen.